Today on the podcast, we have Dr. Edward Thomas Jones, a senior lecturer in economics from Bangor University. Alongside being a lecturer at the university, Edward is a non-executive director of the local science park, MSPARC, director of the Institute of European Finance Research Centre. He is the chairman of Agamdeithas, an Anglesey-based grant-making charity. He's a member of the Stakeholder Advisory Board for British Business Bank. So welcome onto the podcast, Edward.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Quite a long list of items that you're associated with, Edward.
Yeah, when I heard that being said, it does sound like a long list, but I am fortunate that I work with a lot of great people. That does make my job a lot easier. So while I have all these different titles, I can assure you there's some people working in those organizations that are doing far more work than what I actually do.
Like here at Williams then tonight with the... when we had the initial Teams meeting prior to recording this podcast, we were discussing a bit about the history of the Welsh economy. And what came up was that JP Morgan, one of the biggest banks in the world, if not, has an association here with Wales, which you taught me about, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, it just fascinates me looking at the history of the Welsh economy and how successful we have been. Like you mentioned, JP Morgan, potentially the largest bank in the world, it was founded in Wales. So, you know, if we go back several hundred years, the House of Morgan, they were financing different businesses and ventures from their offices in Pembroke. They then moved to London to continue their trade, and then they went to New York to look for new opportunities, financing opportunities there. And the beginning of the 1900s, they moved from being what we'd know as a financing house to becoming a bank, and they've grown ever since. And it just fascinates me how not many people know about that history. You know, we're used to looking at these gigantic corporations across the world, and yet here we have a great example that started here in Wales, and just kind of, it shows a successful economic history and how you can establish businesses here in Wales and be successful. And you know, it's interesting looking throughout history. There's other examples here where we've been successful. For example, Wales was the first country in the whole world to have more people working in industry than in agriculture. You know, that's an incredible shift in the demographics of a country, going from working in agriculture to working in industry. So that occurred during the first Industrial Revolution, which showed the important role that Wales had during that Industrial Revolution, that we did have a greater proportion working in industry than in agriculture. And, you know, that's before it happened in England or any other European countries. We were the first in that. You know, the first £1 million cheque was written in Cardiff. Again, just shows how we were at the forefront of financial innovation. If we think about here in Amlwch, the copper that was exported from Amlwch, you know, it dominated the world. So when we look at our economic history, and it's an area I've just become fascinated recently, it's full of these success stories, the positive news that comes from our history. And my hope is going forward that we are much more confident about the economy and what we're able to do.
Who was the first £1 million cheque written to? Do we know?
That's a great question. I don't know exactly who it was written to, but I know it took place in Cardiff. The building itself is now a hotel, and it was in the coal industry at the time. So that'll be homework for me to find out exactly who the check was written to.
It's quite interesting, the amount of history, like where Wales was like the first to do this and that. And it'd be great if we could continue on that trajectory as well.
And that's the interesting thing, that we've had such great success stories, and you just feel somehow over the last 50 odd years that we've kind of lost that confidence that we used to have in taking a go, you know, trying something new. We've just kind of become a bit risk averse and not willing to move the economy forward, where if we look at our history, that's what we've done before, and it's what we should be doing again going forward if we want to grow the economy.
Yeah, you know, Amlwch is an interesting one, because you know, back in the day, Amlwch was you know, thriving. You had Paris Mountain, you had Ochtel, you had Rhiw, just three there, just a small three there. You know, recently Anglesey Mining, I think, have done another report into the mine. Small progress, but you know, there might be some good news down the line there. Freeport coming to Anglesey. So there are small things happening up here in North Wales, isn't there? But I think we're still a long way behind. Would that be a fair assessment?
There are small things happening, and it shows that we are able to be innovative. If we think about the Freeport, you know, that's going to be a fantastic opportunity to develop not only the area but the whole ecosystem across North Wales. You know, this work that needs to be done to ensure that it is planned correctly. We have plenty of examples where freeports have been successful, but we also need to learn from the freeports that haven't been successful. So we just need to make sure we get that one right, and they'll have a positive impact. Not only on the area of the Freeport itself, but across the whole region, hopefully.
Is that something you're going to be involved with going forward?
I've given a few different presentations on the Freeport. I receive questions every now and again about it, but I'm not going to be directly involved in the Freeport, as far as I'm aware, from now. I do have plenty on my plate, so I just need to be careful on what else I take on at the moment. But you know, there's the potential there to be a fantastic project. If we think about Rotterdam on continental Europe, you know, that has freeport status as the basis of developing the area, and you know, you can see what the port is like now. You know, I'm not saying that we're going to be at that scale, but it does show the potential that when you get the strategy right behind a free port, that it can be a success and have a huge benefit for the economy.
Talk about innovation here in Wales. You're a non-executive director at MSPAC, which that place, I think, is full of innovators.
Yeah.
There's many success stories from MSPAC, isn't there?
Yeah. You know, I've been there now. I've had the pleasure of sitting on the board for, I think it's nearly 6 years, and it's fantastic to see the energy that the tenants have, the entrepreneurs and the businesses, and what they're developing as well. And about 2-3 years ago, I was fortunate. I had the opportunity to go with a few tenants from MSPAC to MIT to see how they develop their science packs there and see what startups they have. And the one thing that hit me, and it's always stuck in my mind, while of course what happens in America is at a different scale, but the innovation that was happening there, we were able to hold our own. You know, the tenants that we have in MSPAC, they didn't feel that they didn't belong there. They felt it was a confidence boost to realize, in terms of innovation and what we're doing and what's happening in MSPAC, we're at the same level as anybody else in the whole world. Different scale, you know, that's accepted. But in terms of the innovation and what's happening, yeah, we can hold our own against the rest of the world. And that, to me, as a board member, that was a confidence booster in terms of our strategy at the Science Park. We must be doing something right to have all this innovation that's happening. But again, you know, I'm just sitting on the board, helping devise, inputting into the strategy of the Science Park. There's some fantastic people working at the Science Park itself to ensure that this ecosystem is thriving. Ensure, you know, they're working behind the scene. You don't really get to see them, but I get to see the hard work that they are doing to ensure that the tenants receive the support that they need in order to thrive.
Is there support for the individual companies, you know, from the board of MSPARC or other people that might be associated with it?
Yeah, as a board, ourselves wouldn't get involved with the individual companies. I'm fortunate because I live in Anglesey. I've gotten to know several of the companies, but what we would be doing is looking at the strategy of the Science Park itself, looking at the risks that we face, making suggestions what we could do to in order to improve the ecosystem itself. And then there's quite a very good team there at the Science Park now that helps delivers and ensure that the ecosystem does provide the support that the tenants need. And the good thing is as well is that, you know, it's a rapidly changing environment, particularly after COVID. And the team that we have in MSPARC, they're responding quickly to the needs of the tenants. So they're providing fantastic support. And now that support, it varies depending on the stage of the ventures. You know, if they're starting up, some might just need that support to open a bank account or getting accountants or lawyers involved, where there's others that are at a later stage, they might need support on securing intellectual property. They might need support to move to larger offices or recruitment or looking for equity investment as well or other type of investments. And the team at MSPARC, they're able to provide that support or make sure that they get people in order to meet those needs.
MSPARC reminds me of a great place where, you know, different companies in different sectors can collaborate together to help each other on their own journey. You know, and people involved with different companies might have different suggestions for different people and different businesses and how they should grow, or they might need an area of help, you know, that other company might be able to assist them. So I think from the benefit of MSPARC, that's a great place.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Where the exciting stuff happens is when you have people from different backgrounds that come together to talk and come up with new ideas. And I think that's one of the advantages of the building itself that we have in Gear One, in that it's designed in such a way that at the center, there's this place where people can come, just meet, talk over a cup of coffee, over lunch, and just have a discussion. And you're never too sure what exciting things might come out of that kind of talks. You know, it might be nothing, but then again, it might be a new venture that, that helps drive the economy forward.
So MSPARC 2.0, will that be similar to the original MSPARC, or will there be a twist, or what's the plans with
that?
Yeah,
so it's we've been successful in filling the current building in MSPARC. So, of course, you know, when you're successful in filling a building, you realize that there is a demand, that what we're doing at the Science Park is the right thing. And therefore, it's natural to build a second building on the park, because clearly the demand is there. You know, will it be the same building? No, you know, we have to think about, okay, what do the tenants actually want? What can we learn from our first building in order to design the second building in such a way that it complements that first building. What we don't want to do is take the heart out of the first building and put it into the second. So it's important that we design it in such a way where that center of the first building, that continues to be the main focus of that interaction of people with different backgrounds. And the second building then, you know, it complements what we see happening in the first building.
Will it be in like the same area then? So like Gaydrun will be like a hub for these buildings?
Yeah. So what we have, the science park itself, you know, we see one building there at the moment, but MSPark, it owns a lot of land in the area. And the idea is to go through this process when we see demand, we build that second building, which we're currently doing. And then who knows, you know, when we fill that up, there might be a need for a third building. And of course, we'd consider that. But, you know, it's what you see with a lot of science parks across the UK, in Europe and elsewhere, that they start with one building. You know, you learn through it. If the demand is there, you build the second and so forth and build it up that way.
It'd be great to see a company from MSPark float on the London Stock Exchange, wouldn't it? You know, a company that was born and bred in Gaydrun on the London Stock Exchange.
Yeah, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it did happen. I've seen companies there that have gone from being an idea on a paper that I spoke to the founder over a cup of coffee, and you know, they've grown, they're employing people, they're advertising on national TV, and they're going from strength to strength, and they're dominating UK markets. They've got eyes now on European markets. And, you know, that the growth potential, it is incredible to see, and the appetite to grow businesses. You know, with a lot of businesses, when you talk to them, they reach a point where they don't want to grow anymore. They're happy with what they got. And one of the things I feel with the founders that I talk to in MSPark is that there's always the appetite to do more, to grow and continue to be successful.
I think the MSPark building feeds through nicely to the next topic we wanted to discuss, which is the green economy here in Wales, and especially Morlaith. I was doing some research on Morlaith this morning, actually, and it's quite, you know, it's quite interesting of how it happened.
Yeah.
I don't know if our listeners know, but I think back in 2014, I think the Crown Estate designated an area on the seabed to tidal energy. I think that was named Morlaith, I think it was named. And then Menter Morn won the lease for that seabed, which now is, I think it's in the second part of kind of the project, putting the infrastructure in place. So that individual companies can develop their own technology on that area, which is very interesting. And you know, happening in Anglesey makes it even more special, I think.
Oh, I'm delighted that Morlaith is here in Anglesey. I've been fortunate to be working with them since 2019, and you know, you have to give a huge congratulations to Gareth Llewellyn Jones, who's been working and determined to get this project off the ground since 2014. He's an incredible person, and you know, the success that we've seen with Morlaith, it is down to him. But again, you know, it's incredible to think that this type of innovation is happening off the coast of Anglesey. So we're all aware of the need to develop technologies that will help us tackle climate change. And Anglesey is going to be on the forefront of the development of tidal energy technology. So as you said, what Morlaith have done is, and one way to think of this, is develop a science park in the water around Holyhead. That's the way I think about it. And so they've done the infrastructure, and then companies from around the world have the opportunity to come there to develop their own technologies, tidal energy technologies, and produce clean and reliable energy. You know, we know tidal energy, you know, the pattern is fairly clear, so it is going to be a reliable energy source. But what fascinates me about these companies is that we have companies from all across the world looking to come here to Anglesey to develop their technology. So, and, you know, we've spoken with companies from, of course, UK, Europe, US as well, that they can see the potential and want to be here. So this not only helps us to be part of the fight to tackle climate change, but it's also a boost to the local economy. So the companies that come in, they're looking to source products from local businesses on Anglesey and across North Wales. They're looking to employ people to work with them to develop the technologies. So I know of one company, you know, they're looking for a person with a PhD in mechanical engineering to help them develop the technology. There's others, they're looking for welders, they're looking for engineers across all different levels. So it's going to be an opportunity for everybody. And I know the Modelize team, they're doing great work in reaching out and going on roadshows to show people the opportunities that there are. So I'd encourage all businesses to get in touch with them to see what opportunities there are for them. The benefit of Anglesey is that we had a nuclear power plant on Anglesey. So a lot of the businesses here, they already have the skills and experiences of meeting the need of a nuclear power plant. So it's going to be very easy for them to meet the needs of tidal energy developers. And that's one of the feedback I've received from the developers as well. That, you know, they've turned to me and said, it's incredible to see the businesses in the area that had the speciality, the skills to meet the needs of nuclear energy. They'll be able to meet the needs of a tidal energy developer. So Anglesey's in a very good place to capitalize on the Modelize project. And it's just businesses need to get involved and talk with the Modelize team to see what opportunities there are for them.
So that energy that will be produced will be sent to the grid. Now, with everything going on with AI and all that kind of stuff, energy is very important because AI takes a lot of energy in you know, the data centers and all that. And now Amazon, I think, has said last week that they'll be building a data center place for AWS here in the UK, which, you know, creating that energy in Anglesey will be, you know, helping all kind of businesses across the world, and it will be, you know, generated in Anglesey, which sounds quite cool to someone that's from Anglesey.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's the other benefit that we have, that legacy from the nuclear power plant that we had here, that the infrastructure to move that energy from where it's been produced off the coast of Holyhead to where it's needed, we have that infrastructure here. So we're fortunate because of that legacy history. You know, I think of the Orkney Islands, they do a lot of tidal energy up there. And one of the challenges that they have is moving that energy from where it's been produced to where it's needed. We're just so fortunate here that we don't have that. We already have the infrastructure in place. Of course, we need to do some work, but we're fortunate the infrastructure's in place to help us ensure that this project will succeed.
So is this designated area in the sea, is it for developing new technologies, or will it actually be used as like a main place to actually generate the energy as well?
Well, it kind of takes both boxes there, because one, it will be an area for developers to be innovative and developing new technologies. But in that process then, they are creating energy as well that will be supplied into the grid. You know, in the long term, you have options then of considering which technology works best in the area and just have that technology there. But at the moment, because the technology is so new, because it's innovative, we're not sure which technology will work best. So we want to get those different technologies in place and see how they develop.
Because I wasn't sure how much like area is needed for like tidal energy to be, well, set up. I don't know if it says 35 kilometers squared. Really, I don't know if that's big or small for this kind of energy.
I'm sure I've read somewhere that it has the potential to be the largest tidal energy development zone in the world.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, it's... I'll have to take that away as being homework as well to double-check it. But, you know, it's a significant size. And the thing to remember is that this technology is developing on a regular basis. It's still new. And that's the exciting thing as well, is that the technology will be developed here in Anglesey. You know, when you hear about these projects, you always think of them happening in places like California or somewhere in Asia or somewhere in Europe. And same as what we're seeing in the Science Park, this renewable energy technology is happening here in Anglesey, which is fantastic.
I think that translates as well to the businesses that you see these days. There's a lot of new renewable energy companies starting up. You pass the vans on the road quite often, whether they're doing residential or commercial premises. Yeah, it's something that's definitely on the rise here, isn't it?
It is, and it's just a case of businesses to be aware of the opportunities that there are with these initiatives as well. You know, the great example, I think, is of a laundrette service. You know, when we're going to be developing Model I's, you know, I don't want to be stereotypical here, but the engineers that will be coming to the area, they're typically going to be male. They're not going to be interested in doing their washing. And therefore, if you're a laundrette business, you know, send a van there, pick up the shirts, take them to be washed, bring them back. You know, that's a really simple example, but it just shows that we need businesses in the area now to be thinking creatively and thinking, right, how can I take advantage of the opportunities that these projects bring? Same across, you know, other renewable energy projects we've seen across the whole of North Wales. You know, businesses just need to think about, right, how can I take advantage of this? I might never have done anything with renewable energy or the green economy before, but this is an opportunity. How can I take advantage of it?
Which there is support from two companies that you're associated with, the British Business Bank and the Development Bank of Wales.
Yeah, so I'm fortunate to be involved with both. And, you know, if we think back 10, 15 years, a challenge for a lot of businesses was getting the finance or that investment needed to take an opportunity like what we're seeing now. And with the British Business Bank, they have they've launched the 130 million investment fund for Wales. So they're really going to be pushing to back local businesses here in Wales. Same with the Development Bank of Wales. They're going to be pushing to ensure that businesses have the finance that they need in order to take these opportunities. The British Business Bank, they're continuing to do their roadshows across the country to highlight the opportunities and the funding that is available. So they will be at the Wrexham football ground early next month promoting the investment fund for Wales. It's an opportunity for businesses to talk with the fund managers to see how they go about making an application for funding. And, you know, again, it's important for businesses to talk with both the British Business Bank and the Development Bank of Wales to see what funding is available, how they go about making an application, and seeing what the process is like. And I've been fortunate, I've got to know a lot of the fund managers with both the British Business Bank and the Development Bank of Wales. And what they say is, you know, just pick up the phone, talk to them, you know, meet up for a coffee. It might not lead to anything, but at least then businesses know where they stand and the opportunities and the financing opportunities available to them.
Well, will the interest rates on those British Business Bank loans be competitive? What would they get on the high street bank, or would they be a bit more expensive? Because we've seen the development bank, their rates have been, I think their rates are now pretty competitive with the bank. So how would the British Business Bank, you understand?
Yeah, similar situation for the British Business Bank. Like I mentioned, you know, they have that £130 million fund now, the investment fund for Wales. So clearly they're in a position to help businesses. You know, the amount they charge for each business will vary and take into account different things such as the risks involved, the sector, the business plan itself. And that's why it's important for businesses to go and talk to them, to have that just initial discussion over a coffee to see what kind of prices they would be charged. You know, it'll take into account different things. And that's why the roadshows are a good opportunity as well. So the one in Wrexham next month, you know, just come along and talk to the fund managers to see what's possible.
Yeah. Going back to the MSPAC as well, you know, it'd be good to see if we had some funding providers, or even those from down London way, you know, VCTs or private equity people, you know, seeing what we have here at MSPAC. I think MSPAC does do a lot with, is it Welsh down in London?
Yeah, they have an event next week, the end of towards the end of September down in London. And, you know, they're doing a great job advertising what we do here to the investors down in London. It's always a challenge with the venture capitalists and financiers down in London. They don't like to travel. So to encourage them to come up to North Wales to see some of the businesses, it is difficult. And that's why we really need to go to see them to showcase what we have up here on Anglesey. But, you know, in fairness to British Business Bank, some of their fund managers, they now have offices in MSPAC. So they're becoming aware of the ecosystem there. And they're able to provide, you know, debt funding or equity funding as well. So, you know, we're not as reliant as before to get that funding from the venture capitalists down in London. We now have serious investors with offices in MSPAC, which is fantastic to see.
Oh, cool. Oh, well, that'll be interesting to see how that funding works out. You know, with all your board seats and, you know, things that you're associated with, you're currently working on some community-led ventures. Do you want to tell us more?
Yeah, it's an area I have become absolutely fascinated in, and it happened about a year ago. I was approached by a few of the community members from Velinheli. I knew them from different projects I'd worked on, and they approached me because the marina had come up for sale and the local community was interested in buying the marina, and they approached me asking would I be able to help them look at their business plan, just, you know, give suggestions on what could happen. And so I did. And I'd heard of community-led ventures before, but I hadn't really paid them much attention. And just being involved in that process with the community looking to buy the marina, I just became fascinated with these community-led ventures. Now, unfortunately, the community wasn't successful in their bid for the marina, but my interest in this space has continued since then. So the community-led venture that we're most familiar with in Wales is that community-owned pub. And I've lost count of the number of community-led pubs there are in Wales now. I think the number's about 50. And, you know, it's incredible to see the impact that they have. I hate the word pub to describe them, because they do far more than that. They've become this centre of the community where they provide an area for lessons. They provide an area for groups to come together to practice, to entertain. And, of course, they're the local pub as well. So they're having both a social impact and an economic impact. And I've been fortunate. I've been through my research at Bangor University, I've become aware of other community-led ventures. So there are in Bethesda, there's the community own an energy venture that generates clean energy for the local community, but also generates an income that they're able to reinvest in the local area. There's a community-led shop. There's even a community-led science hub that I'm involved in down in Llanelli, where the local community would own the intellectual property that the science hub develops. You know, so I'm seeing that across the whole of Wales at the moment, that communities, for some reason or other, they're just deciding that they're going to do things for themselves and develop these ventures that answer a social need, or they address a social issue local to that community, but they also have an economic impact as well. And to me, that's the kind of holy grail of ventures, of any type of business venture. If you're able to address a social issue and have an economic impact, that's a win-win.
On Anglesey, I think, yeah, we are very familiar with the Orweth and Bryngoran, and you can see the impact that has had on the community. Quite remarkable of, you know, the things that go on there. You know, everybody gets together there.
It brings people to the village that wouldn't otherwise go there as well. So
yeah, like, and you know, my favourite time when I was at the Yorweth was being asked if I mind keeping it quiet because there were lessons being done upstairs. And, you know, that's just fantastic, isn't it? You know, and it goes back to, I hate this word pub to describe it. It's much more of a community centre that serves alcohol because it offers so many different things. But, you know, we know of a few here in Anglesey. Gwynedd, again, I've kind of lost count of how many community-led ventures there are in Gwynedd. There's considerably more there. But I've been fortunate through my work. I'm starting to talk to academics from other countries, the Netherlands, Spain, France, and they don't seem to have the same number of community-led ventures that we have here in Wales. We seem to be unique in this trend, and I wouldn't be surprised if quite soon we'll have a lot of different countries looking at us to see what they can learn on how communities can take ownership of different assets and develop their own ventures for the benefit of the local community.
With the Velian Heli venture, of course, the marina was unsuccessful, but will they be doing something else?
They are, in fairness, they are looking to continue with a venture to take ownership of local assets for the benefit of the local community. You know, the marina was a great situation. So they're currently, the community there, they're thinking, right, what other assets are in the area that we can take ownership of in order to have that local benefit? But it does kind of, that story, it does kind of highlight the situation that we have here in Wales in terms of the law. So if we look at Scotland, the community has a right to buy an asset that is of importance to them when it comes to the market. In Wales, communities do not have the same right. And I'm at a loss why communities don't have that right here in Wales, when clearly they have it in Scotland, and there's evidence to show that it has a considerable impact in Scotland as well. The communities there, they're able to take ownership of the assets that's important to them. Where in Wales, for some reason or another, we don't seem to have that. And that's one of the things I want to be focusing on through my work at Bangor University, is to make sure that the laws change in such a way that communities across Wales have similar rights to those in Scotland and are able to take control of those assets that are important to them.
Oh, okay, so watch this space then, here in Wales.
Absolutely.
Have you got anything else on the go? If you've got any free time in your schedule?
No, that's that's taken up a lot of my time at the moment, and I don't want to be spreading myself too thinly. So I'm focusing on those projects. However, there is one thing. Working with a colleague at Bangor University, we've done a lot of work on devolved taxes, and we are developing an online devolved tax calculator that will allow different interested parties to shift the dials on different taxes that we have devolved here in Wales, and to see what impact they would have. So that's another interesting project that I'm fortunate to be involved in. And hopefully we'll have that up and running before the end of the year. And it'll be of interest to different people across the country.
Will that be an app or a website?
That'll be a website, but who knows? Once we have that up and running, it might become an app, but we're going to focus on getting our website up and running first.
Oh, cool. Well, that'll be interesting. Okay, that'll be quite cool to see when that's up and running. Is there anything else you'd like to discuss?
No, I think we've covered a lot today, but no, thank you for the opportunity, and I hope it was of some interest. But, you know, the important message is that we're confident about the economy. We get so used to bad news and we can talk ourselves down, but as a nation, we've proven that we are able to compete against the other countries, and we should be more confident going forward.
What a great way to end.
Yeah. Great. Thank you very much.
Diolch yn fawr.
Diolch yn fawr.